You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Pastry chef and chocolatier, or should I say chocolatier, Jacques Torres is the founder and owner of the acclaimed and popular Jacques Torres Chocolate Company, which now has 7 locations in and around New York. He does everything in his operation, from roasting his own cocoa beans to making profiteroles and chocolate-covered cornflakes. And he joins us now to talk about the chocolate recipes from his most recent book, A Year in Chocolate, 80 Recipes for Holidays and Special Occasions. It's published by Stuart Tabori and Chang, and I'm very pleased to welcome Jacques Torres back to our show. Hi.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
You were a pastry chef for many years at the restaurant Le Cirque. When you decided to open your own place, why did you decide to focus on chocolate?
I think that chocolate, as far as I can remember, was something that I love. And over the years, I always made chocolates, and chocolate was something that I loved to do. Then something that I really, really loved to do. And that passion became almost an obsession after so many years doing pastry. And one day I decided that I will open a business dedicated to chocolates.
And you went to Dumbo before Dumbo became Dumbo.
I did, and that was so much luck. I was training for the marathon. I passed by Dumbo and completely fall in love with those red bricks and those old buildings. This area have a soul and an history, and that's what's really attracted me about Dumbo.
And you decided just to open up a factory. You weren't even thinking about retail at first?
Correct. I was not thinking about retail. And if I remember, Florence Fabricant called me and asked me if my place will be ready. I tell her yes. We build in no time a little tiny store, just one counter, a few boxes of chocolates. And the company start this way. There was a line outside of the door waiting for chocolates. That was amazing.
And now you have a bigger facility downtown, just a couple of blocks away from where our studios are located here on Varick Street, in which you roast your own cocoa beans. Were you able to do that in Dumbo?
No. Roasting the cocoa bean, making the chocolate, start 3 years after I get my first manufacture. That was something that I always dreamed to do, and it's a big undertaking. And finally, I decided to do that. This is not a money-making part of my operation. It's more of a passion. It's more of me being able to say I make some of my own chocolates.
Only some of them. So you use some of your own cocoa beans, and then you buy imported roasted beans from elsewhere.
Yes. What's happening is
I said imported. Is there any? And
it
are
is,
there
it
any,
is.
Any
yes.
of those beans ever grown in the United States?
No. The beans doesn't grow in the U.S. 20 degrees north and south of the equator. So what I do, I work with beans that I buy in different locations. And when I find flavor that I love, I talk to a manufacturer in Belgium who actually make chocolates also for me. And we buy about 100 tons of chocolate from them a year. And I produce here about 10 tons.
Now, why Belgium? Belgium is almost synonymous with chocolate. In fact, if you walk around Brussels or Bruges or any of the other major cities, every third shop seems to be a chocolate shop.
I was in Bruges this summer, and in a radius of 2 miles, it was 52 chocolate shops. I mean, this is unbelievable, 52.
And a couple of them were really good.
And yes, I mean, that was special. Yes, you're right. You know, it's maybe 5 that are really, really good, and the rest of it is not as good. But those 5 are really coming
out.
But
how did it wind up Belgium, of all places? Because chocolate originally comes from Mesoamerica. I would have thought Spain, perhaps.
Yes, you're right. I think that northern country, where it's a little bit cooler, eat more chocolates where the souths than the souths. That's one of the things. I think climate work a lot on it. Also, if you look at Switzerland, Switzerland developed the milk chocolate because they have so much milk there. So it became really cultural. And if you look at the flavor of what America love as just chocolates, they will go toward the flavor of the Swiss, Belgian chocolates more than the Spanish, Italian, or French.
It's interesting that American chocolates tended to be of the milk chocolate variety until fairly recently. When I thought of European chocolates, I always thought of darker chocolates.
Yes. And now we sell over 60% dark and less than 40% milk. When I start my business, it was not for me, but for the big company in U.S., 80% milk, 20% dark.
When you're buying beans, is this similar to when coffee makers are buying coffee beans? Do you worry about the terroir? Do you worry about how fresh they are?
Yes. Yes. What we do, we usually look at a lot. And the lot can be 10 ton, 5 ton, you know, whatever the quantity the lot is. And you ask for a sample. So a sample will be taken from at least 10 different bags. And we look at the cacao beans. We look at the origin. We look at if they are under-fermented or not. We look at infestation. We look at the mold. And depending on the result that we're going to get from that, we will buy the lot or not.
So there is mold on bad coffee beans?
Oh, yes. It can be in cacao bean can have mold, can have infestation of insect. You really have to be very careful with that.
And are the words cacao and cocoa used interchangeably?
That's something to ask to a native, not to me.
Yeah. Well,
I will call, you know, the cacao beans or cocoa beans. I don't make any difference, but again, don't quote me on that.
Well, I asked you that because in the book we get both, and I wondered whether there was some distinction that was being made other than I felt like spelling it with an A first and as opposed to an O first. It's the same letters. They just
yes, I think it's the same product at the end.
Now, why not Mexico? This chocolate comes from Mesoamerica. Does Mexico produce any decent chocolate?
Yes, yes. Tabasco area actually produce some very, very good cacao beans. And they are usually Criollo beans, which is certainly the finest tree that produce chocolates. And those come from Mexico.
And I understand that the Aztecs used to greet strangers with hot chocolate that had been laced with chili powder, no sugar in it. To some degree, that chili chocolate combination is coming back.
Yes, I went to Mexico. I went to Oaxaca and Titotitlan, spend a week with a family and learn how to use spices with them. So we put spices in chocolates, but we also cook savory dishes with it, like mole. When I came back, that's when we decide to do the wicked hot chocolates using chipotle and ancho chili. And the way they use it, you cannot go more authentic than that.
But it is interesting that chocolate has become the dessert, a dessert ingredient mostly. In Mexico, it wasn't. And in some other parts of Europe, in Sicily, they make they use chocolate as a part of sauces as
yes.
well.
Yes.
So why do you think that in France and in Belgium and Switzerland, it's simply associated with desserts?
I don't think it's part of the culture to do savory with it. And actually, when chocolate came to Europe, it was a drink. That was not a piece of chocolate. The chocolate was invented or made for the first time in Europe, certainly in Switzerland and rest of the European countries. So it was not in our culture, in our culinary culture, to cook with it. But on the way to Europe, those boats was picking up some sugar cane from the Caribbean, and certainly mixed that with the chocolates, and chocolate was born.
And the rest is history. Jacques Torres is a year in chocolate, 80 recipes for holidays and special occasions, with beautiful photographs by Steve Poole, is published by Stuart Tabori and Chang. And one of your Christmas recipes, a holiday is coming up, is Bûche de Noël. Is this the traditional recipe?
Yes, the Bûche de Noël is a cake that's, you know, look like a log, a Christmas log. And I think it's deep into the pastry tradition in France, and that's something that I love to do. I am a classical trained pastry chef, and to me, the Bûche de Noël have to be pastry cream, white sponge, a little bit of coffee flavor, coffee buttercream on top, and just beautifully decorated.
Sounds good to me. What about Hanukkah? It's become associated with chocolate as well. Do you sell Hanukkah gelt in your stores?
Yes, I do. For the first year, we have the gelt. We also have a few goodies that we do for Hanukkah. I don't grow up with doing that or in that culture, but I learn a lot from the time that I'm in New York to try to please all my customers.
Now, as we're talking, we're being filmed. Why is that?
What's going on is a French TV decide to come for 4 days and following me everywhere in my everyday life. So this is what we do. This morning we went to I went to tape a TV show, and the French chef was also there, and they're going to follow me for 4 days.
And they consider you a celebrity? Don't they know about Pierre Hermé and people like that?
I think Pierre Hermé is a big celebrity in France, but Pierre Hermé is less of a celebrity in New York. This is my place, so I think they want to show who I am in New York.
Well, you were just in Belgium?
I was in Belgium this summer. I spent a week there, of course, in Brussels. I went to Bruges. I went to Antwerp. I eat so much chocolate that I have to go on a diet after that for weeks when I came back.
What is their secret?
Quality. I think that's pretty much what they do. They have a lot of professionals who do pretty good quality chocolates.
And in America, we made a lot of chocolate.
Yes.
But it was more of the Hershey bar sort. Milk chocolate usually didn't have that kind of richness. What's the difference?
You know, I don't think that's anything wrong with Hershey, Mars, Nestle. They just made chocolates that cost less money. So by doing that, you have to certainly put a little bit more sugar, be a little bit less selective on the cacao beans. But today, customers want better coffee, better chocolates, better food in general, better anything. Chocolate is part of it. And how do you do better? By being more selective, by having maybe the best techniques possible. Cut the sugar, because sugar usually hides flavor. And then you get a more high-end chocolates.
There are a number of things that go deliciously with chocolate, like nuts and berries and strawberries and peanut butter. Why do you think we have been recently pairing chocolate, at least some people have, with sea salt, of all things?
Sea salt is one of the ingredients that will actually kick the flavor of chocolate. You know, when you put a little bit of salt into a pretty bland vegetable, suddenly it has more flavor. Chocolate do that too. You can add a little bit of salt to make it a little bit more flavorful. You know, I'm a classical trained chef. I'm not crazy to put sea salt or bacon or other product like that into my chocolates.
Some people do now.
Yes. I mean, you know what? Nothing wrong with that if you like it. It's not me. It's not my signature. It's not something that I really go after.
Are there some kinds of chocolate that are better than others for baking with?
Yes. Usually what you use when you bake with chocolates, you will use a chocolate with less cocoa butter. The reason is less cocoa butter, a little bit more flavor. But also, the cocoa butter will have a melting effect in the oven. If you have less cocoa butter, the chocolate will not melt as much when you bake it.
There was a debate some years back as to whether we could call cocoa butter white chocolate chocolate.
Yes, I think the debate still exists. Is white chocolate really chocolate? White chocolate contains sugar, milk powder, cocoa butter, vanilla, and lecithin. It's no cacao. It's basically the fat of the cacao. So is it real chocolate? Again, I don't know, but it's sweet. It has a milky and vanilla flavor, and kids love it.
You can roast coffee beans in your oven and
yes.
Do a pretty nice job. Can you do the same thing with cocoa beans?
If you can find them, yes.
I can't go to a store somewhere and get raw cocoa beans?
Raw cocoa beans are very difficult to find. They are not always clean. They dry usually in mats into the country that's going to grow those cacao beans, and birds will land on them. They will get pretty dirty. Then they get packed and sent to country where we're going to treat that, and we are extremely careful with that. We're going to roast them. We're going to take all the steps to not contaminate the finished product with a product that's actually pretty dirty when you receive it.
Do you take environmental and fair trade considerations into account the way
Definitely.
People who work in coffee do?
Definitely, yes. When I buy chocolates, I always try to go back as far as I can to see if that chocolate was, you know, not grow or not picked up by kids or... It's actually pretty difficult to know exactly what's going on in those countries most of the time.
Let's get into another debate, whether you should melt chocolate in a microwave. There are some people who...
You can. It's nothing wrong with that.
But you said the purists still want to do it in a double boiler. What's the difference, ultimately?
I think I am a purist, and I have nothing against the microwave, but you have to be very careful. You have to stir your chocolates on and on. If you don't, the chocolate will burn on the middle of the bowl, and it's over. You can do nothing with it. So, but otherwise, I have no problem, or you know, to melt it in a let's say in a warm box, like a very low oven, double boiler, microwave, doesn't matter.
You start the book with a section on tempering chocolate. Why is tempering so important?
Tempering chocolates happen when you melt the chocolates and all the molecule of fat going to break down. When you put the chocolates in a mold, if those molecule of fat doesn't come together, the chocolate will not retract and the piece of chocolates will not come out of the mold. So you have to temper chocolates. I did few video on YouTube how to explain and show how to temper chocolate. It's not complicated, but if you don't do it, you're not going to be able to mold the chocolates.
Haven't you also opened an ice cream store?
Yes. I opened an ice cream store a couple years ago next to my store in Brooklyn, in Dumbo. I love ice cream. I mean,
are there some chocolates, the kinds of chocolate that work better in ice creams than others?
I will say that dark chocolate works very well with ice cream. Milk chocolate doesn't always work with ice cream because you don't always find it. You need to have flavor. I'm an advocate of strong flavor.
Well, people will learn all about that when they look at this latest cookbook of yours called A Year in Chocolate, 80 recipes for holidays and special occasions. Are there any others that you're suggesting for this holiday season?
We have a lot of
something
different...
easy for me to be able to make.
You mean in a recipe?
Yeah.
You know what? We have very popular cookies. You should look at that. Those cookies sell so well. I give the recipe away, and I receive a lot of compliments on the tweet, on Facebook, by the customer. We are successful with those cookies.
The cookbook is published by Stuart Tabori and Chang. Thank you so much, Jacques Torres, for coming by.
Thank you very much. Very happy to be here.